Before my podcast, I'm so proud that MyPillow is now a sponsor. You can get an amazing discount by just using the word charisma as a promo code. I'm very happy to endorse his product. I've been using it for years, and at the end of the podcast, I'll tell you a few stories about Mike Lindell.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For example, you can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 a set. That's a savings of 60% and the lowest price in history. And remember, they're made with the world's best cotton, grown where the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet. They come with my 10-year warranty, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
Welcome to the Strang Report podcast. This is Stephen Strang. Today, I'm going to interview Sean Foyt, who's been in the news lately because he's been fighting back against the mainstream media, and good for him. I've admired Sean so much, standing up for truth and righteousness. We know him as a worshiper. He's a godly man. He's a friend. You don't want to miss my conversation with Sean Foyt.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Sean. Thank you for fitting me in. It was good to see you in person last week in California. You led a worship service on the beach on the Pacific Ocean. I'd never been to anything like that, but you've done that many times, haven't you?
Yeah, that was really special. You know, being there in Coronado Beach in San Diego and, you know, the history of the Beach Boys playing there and recording an album and the history of so many things happening on that specific beach. It was really cool to see, really to see Jesus be lifted up in that place and all the glory go to him that night. So yeah, it was amazing.
It was very special. And just as soon as I got home, I hear about some kind of Twitter war going on with Rolling Stone, and a bunch of other media have picked up on it. And tell me about your efforts to fight back against the mainstream media.
Yeah, well, I mean, this has kind of been a, you know, it's been a common theme over the last, you know, couple years. And, you know, I think that we're not trying to seek media attention or seek hits or seek, you know, controversy. But, you know, at the same time, when the media comes after us, we have to call out the hypocrisy. We have to call out the fact that they're blatantly targeting Christians. We have to call out their bigotry. And so I think in regards to what we've been doing, you know, we've actually seen God take what was meant for evil and turn it around for good. And I think we're continuing to see that. But it requires us to be bold, and it requires us to stand in the face of the media and the lies and the slander and to call it out as not being true. And so anyway, as it relates to this specific story, you know, Rolling Stone, it was, I think, about a year and a half ago when we were in Nashville, 10,000 people showed up for a Let Us Worship event, and we were shocked because we changed the venue three times within 24 hours. One of the issues was rain. We tried to move it somewhere else. The other issue was the mayor said revoked our permit. And so we went through a couple of these things, and so I was shocked when we showed up at the courthouse and 10,000 people were there. Rolling Stone ran a front page article where they put my picture up there and they said, Jesus Christ super spreader. And they really utilized that event to try to just shame the church, say that all these people are going to get sick, really slam me, my character. You know, why are we doing this? Of course, it ended up, tons of people got saved. We baptized over 300 people that night. No cases of COVID were even found. They tried to, the mayor of Nashville tried to do contact tracing, couldn't find any cases of COVID in our gathering. And so Rolling Stone has kind of doubled down in the last few days. I guess they're working on another article. They're working on another hit piece. And yesterday, They sent a spy in to pretend that she was a prayer, an intercessor to our property in Washington, D.C. We have a house in D.C., a prayer room that's about a block from the Supreme Court, two blocks from the Capitol. They sent somebody in there.
So how did you find out, you know, who she really was?
Well, I think when she got in the room, we kind of do so we've been hosting 30 days of day and night prayer, or sorry, 30 days of prayer from our house. We call it Camp Allah, very strategically located. We've been praying around the Supreme Court until the Dobbs decision and Roe v. Wade is reversed. This has been our prayer for 20 years. So now we've just been mobilizing intercessors. Well, this reporter showed up. I don't even know how she heard about it because we vet people, but she showed up to join the prayer team. And when it kind of went around, they were doing the opening introductions. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? She kind of stood out, obviously. And then it ended up coming out in conversation with somebody that she was a reporter. And then we found out she was a Rolling Stone reporter. And then we looked her up and found out she is the, like, the leftist of the leftist. That's, you know, her purpose is to report on religious extremism. And so they're concocting a piece about how we're some crazy cult, probably trying to tie us to January 6th. So what, who knows, you know? And which all of that is just not true. You know, we're just Christians that care about life, that care about our country. And so anyway, I just thought it was funny that they sent in a spy to try to, like, probably dox us, send out the address. Who knows what they're going to do, to be honest. But we just had to call it out. And so that's kind of where this whole thing began.
So somebody sent me a copy, some kind of screenshot from someone named Timothy Dixon at the Rolling Stone. And
right.
Requesting a phone interview.
Right.
And your rise to religious and political prominence in MAGA world. Well, I guess you must be talking about Donald Trump. And also
right.
Asking about your camp, Allah, that you mentioned.
Right.
And so was he first and then this lady was second? How did that work?
I mean, I think they're working in conjunction. You know, they're probably trying to write a piece from a lot of different angles. And, you know, this guy, Timothy, whatever, whoever his name is, you know, he wants to, you know, write a whole piece just basically slamming in Christians. And, you know, I think that a lot of times we feel like this, the trap that these guys set is that a lot of times leaders or pastors, they have a good heart going into these things and they want Jesus to be known and seen, but they have the false assumption that these guys want to write a correct story or that these guys want to actually tell, and they don't. What they hate the church. They want to paint us as bigots. They want to paint us as homophobes. They want to paint us as white nationalists, even if we aren't white, by the way. And they come in with a very clear agenda. So it takes a discerning spirit to understand, hey, listen, you've already written a piece in your mind. You already, and it's not my job to try to make the church look good to you. And I think that's the trap that gets so many people is they end up talking and dialoguing with these people. They let them into their world because they really feel like it's their role to try to convince them that the church is good and da 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 da. When at the beginning of this whole story, they don't want to know that. They're very clear and set at what their agenda is. And, you know, we've seen this throughout history, especially modern history. And I think we just have to be aware.
I think you're right. And, you know, I have a particular interest in this because I trained as a secular journalist and got a degree at the University of Florida School of Journalism, worked for the Orlando Sentinel early in my career. The press was not nearly as hostile back then, but it was definitely hostile. They would occasionally
right.
do a good story, but they were always looking for the dirt. They weren't interested in anything unless it was some kind of scandal associated
right.
with it. And some publications, the Rolling Stone being one of them, who would have the Rolling Stone magazine, of course, plays off the, you know, the rock group by the same name, and it would have been late 60s, early 70s. That was back in the era. It was always out there culturally,
right.
always.
Right.
And, you know, now we would call it woke. You're right about that. So You know, back in the day, I remember Oral Roberts, who passed away in 1999, he used to talk about the only way he would do an interview on television was if it was live. So in other words, he would go on Johnny Carson because it was live and they couldn't edit him, but he wouldn't do a 60 minutes kind of interview because who knows how they were going to edit it to make him look bad. So
he was
well aware of that. Over the years, as I became a Christian journalist and a publisher, I have had articles from time to time, and I always try to stay away from it. But one of the reporters at the Orlando Sentinel, somebody that I knew personally from the days when I worked there, he wanted to do a story on me and my son Cameron, who does Relevant Magazine. And I told him, his name is Jeff. I said, Jeff, I know what you're doing. You're going to paint him as a young, cool guy who's left of center, and me as the old fuddy-duddy who is some kind of right-wing extremist. And I said, I am not going to give you sound bites to say that. Now, he wrote the story. It was fairly even-handed, but I think it's because I lectured him, and also I knew who his boss was. You know, I could play it up. So it was kind of a bland story about, isn't it interesting, the son of a publisher starts his own magazine that, you know, caters to younger evangelicals. It was fine. More recently, the New York Times did a story on me, and, you know, a lot of people would be really flattered. I didn't want to do it. I kept turning him down. He'd do a story. He was wanting to interview different people, and I knew they would use my interview as sound bites, make me look stupid, make whoever they're writing about look stupid. I said, I'm not going to do it. I don't have to do it. I'm not going to do it. Then I had a book coming out, Sean, and he said, well, I want to do something on the book. The book ended up like being three paragraphs. But I did have the good sense to record the whole thing. I told him I was going to record it. And I said, I'm going to be able to prove if you twisted my words. To the guy's credit, he didn't. But again, he was on the record. I held him accountable. But he tried to make me look stupid. And it was kind of like, this guy is a journalist. Why would any journalist with half a brain support Donald Trump? That was kind of the takeaway. And someone told me it was probably as positive as a guy could do it, considering who he was and who I was. So, you know, this is about your experience. But, I mean, I've seen up close and personal. Of course, we're journalists. We try to, you know, we have to write about sensitive things within the body of Christ and within the culture. We try to get our facts right. But these people have an agenda. And from their point of view, they're doing their readers or their viewers a favor by exposing these people. I remember, do you remember the name James Watt? He was Secretary of the Interior under Ronald Reagan. He grew up.
Yeah, I know James Watt. Yeah.
He's a great American. He was the first Pentecostal to ever be in a presidential cabinet. And he was an environmentalist. In other words, he wanted to take care of the environment. He wasn't an extreme, you know, environmentalist like tree hugger. But you know what? They did stories on him. This was during Ronald Reagan's administration. How could anyone who actually believed in the second coming of Jesus be Secretary of the Interior? Because Jesus was going to come. It was going to be the Battle of Armageddon. The whole world was going to be blown up. So why should we even worry about the environment? That was the farthest thing from the truth. But they took, they took eschatology, tried to twist it, and tried to make James Watt look bad. So you're kind of getting the latest in a long string, but you are savvy and you are standing up to these people. And you're tell me about the tweets that you're doing back and forth. Weren't you trying to dialogue with the guy via Twitter and let people watch the conversation or the interview in real time?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think it's, I'm trying a lot of different things. I think that what we do have on our side right now that maybe prior generations or prior movements didn't have is we have an all-time low approval rating and really reliability rating in the mainstream media. So all that to say, almost no one takes these guys seriously. Like, they are kind of the only guys that take themselves seriously, or far left groups, which represents a small majority of the population in America. And I think you can see, you know, through the last few elections and the way things have swung, I mean, people just don't believe these guys, but they think that they're kind of a big deal. So what I try to do is utilize, okay, God, if Rolling Stone is going to call us Jesus Christ Super Spreader and mock us, we're going to take the title Super Spreader, which I think is a great title, by the way. We're going to make a documentary film out about how we're all called to be super spreaders for Jesus, right? So we take the thing that they use to hurt us and we use it for our good. And now that film, Super Spreader, is going to be in 500 movie theaters around the world on August 18th. Everybody that's listening to this has to go and watch that film. It's phenomenal. It shows our journey of what God's done across America in 150 cities. But that's a case in point of an example of using the very thing that they're trying to harm us with, which I think in past seasons, most Christians would just try to ignore or not even engage with. I'm saying, okay, God, how do you want to take this persecution? How do you want to take this slander and how do you want to turn it around? And I think that that's what even makes some of these guys even more upset, is that we are not going to be these Christians that just lie down. We're not going to be the kind of people that just let you lie and slander. No, we're going to take a stand just like Paul did, just like Peter did, just like all of the early disciples that encountered boldness in the book of Acts. They actually stood up to the leaders. They stood up to the authorities. They said, no, we're going to keep preaching Jesus. We're going to keep preaching salvation. It doesn't matter what you do to us, how you try to harm us, how you malign us, how you persecute us. And this is where I feel like a spirit of boldness is coming on the church. We're not going to allow these guys to try to push us around and try to make stuff up that's not true. We're going to call them out while knowing that most of the country doesn't believe them anyways, you know? And to be honest with you, God has built Let Us Worship. He's built a lot of these movements through controversy. You know, it's the haters and the trolls that get on. They're the ones that boost the algorithms. When they get on and they chatter and they talk, they're all there. Even though they don't realize it, they're actually boosting the posts. They're actually helping awareness get out there. We've had so many people that have come to our events with intent to to protest it, to cause tension, and then they end up finding Jesus. And so, man, I just love it. It may be a strategy that's new to some people, but I do feel like we have a grace to engage, maybe in a level that other people in the past have not.
So you're absolutely right about that. In fact, in the early church, it was the persecution, them throwing people out of Jerusalem or people fleeing for their life, that is actually right. What spread this little Jewish cult called the Way back then. We weren't even called Christians back then. It spread it all through the Roman Empire. And, you know, when you say about the media having no credibility, you're absolutely right. It used to be they could do a hit job on and almost sink your ministry or something, but that doesn't happen anymore. You know,
yeah.
If anything, it endears you to the people who follow your ministry and that type of thing. And I mean, there's a lot of examples like that. And I just admire so much what you're doing. And yes, God is using you and using this controversy and using these weird algorithms, which a lot of times seem to work against us, but they work for us. The Bible says that all things work together for good. So, and you've mentioned a couple of good things. As we wrap up this short podcast, what are some other good things that you see happening that would encourage people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, believers are, I think that they're, the post-COVID church looks a lot different than the pre-COVID church. I think we've been through the fire. We've been through some testing. You know, we've all had to come to to grips and reality of what do we believe? Me even as a worship leader, you know, I have to come to the reality. Do I believe the songs that I'm singing? Are these just empty songs? And are these just, is this just Christian rhetoric? Or do I really believe that, you know, that in God's healing? Do I really believe in His protection? Do I believe in His deliverance? Do I believe that He can take every harmful thing and turn it around? And, you know, it's amazing how not only does our dependency on God grow in these seasons. I mean, right now we're facing historic inflation. We're facing historic, interest rates just bumped up. The Fed just bumped interest rates up. The food shortages, baby formula shortages. The future in many ways looks bleak according to the world standards. But this is really the hour where the church expands and the church grows. very rarely in history do we see the church growing under prosperous conditions. More often than not, we see that as crisis deepens in a nation, that people turn their hearts to God. So I feel like that this is a great hour, given the anger and the demonic hatred towards the church, towards anything absolute, towards anything godly, towards the Supreme Court decision that's about to come down in the next few weeks, towards the preservation of marriage between a man and a woman and sexuality according to the Word of God. That anger and animosity is only building right now because God is positioning us in an incredible season to be the hope of the world. And so anyway, I'm super excited about that. I am praying and believing that even our, feeble attempts at writing our message down and sharing it on movies and documentaries and stuff, I'm praying that it'll encourage people and that, we can see that God's shifting the narrative in this generation. So I see a lot of hope. I see a lot of faith. I see a lot of people rising up, and I see people, going the other way too. I think that we're in a very polarizing season, but God's going to get the glory and the remnant is rising and the church is going to, be stronger than we've seen in a long time in this coming season.
Amen. I believe it. And as we wrap this up, how can people get hold of your ministry and tell us once again about that movie that is on August 18th?
Yeah, they can, of course, they can go to seanfeucht.com. That's S-E-A-N-F-E-U-C-H-T. They can see the places that we're going across America, our events. They can also go to lettuceworship.us. For the film, they can go to, I think it's superspreaderfilm.com. You can also find those links from my website, but that'll show you the strategy. We're actually really excited because we want to take the evangelistic experience of Let Us Worship across America, and we want to see that happen in theaters. 500 theaters across America, we want to see revival break out in the theaters. And so that's our strategy in Regal and Cinemark and AMC. We're working with all of them. And it's going to be a powerful film. I also have a book coming out next month you can pre-order called Bold. And I'm really thankful for you. Thank you for having me on and letting me share my heart.
And thank you to you, and thank you to my listeners for tuning in to my podcast today. Tune in again to The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.
Well, thank you for listening. I've gotten to know Mike Lindell fairly well. The first time I met him was at National Religious Broadcasters. He was going around meeting people, and instead of saying my name, I said, "You're the man that improved my sleep," as I shook his hand. And he said, in his kind of sing-song that you hear on the commercials, "I knew it would." And that was just like a little joke. And since then, I had the opportunity to visit his office, and also his manufacturing plant, meet his employees. I did a cover story in Charisma Magazine in January of 2021, and he did a foreword for my book, Guide and Cancel Culture. His company was going to send me a whole lot of his products, and I told them they didn't need to because I've been using the products for years, really. First, I used my pillow. Then I wanted to buy the Giza Dream Sheets, and my wife said, we already use Egyptian cotton. We had fairly nice sheets, and I said, no, but I want to try them. I want to support Mike Lindell, especially after all these cancel culture people took his products out of the stores because he had the audacity to support Donald Trump. But you know what? We like the Giza Dream Sheets better than whatever Egyptian cotton. It is Egyptian cotton, but somehow the quality level's better. And they're not paying me to say that. That is my opinion. I've never endorsed a product from another company before, but I'm happy to endorse MyPillow MyPillow.com and the various products that they produce. I sleep on MyPillow every night and really like his Giza Dream Sheets. But they have so many products, and you get a discount on any of their products if you use the product code CHARISMA. Just the word CHARISMA. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Of course, you go to MyPillow.com.